Okay, so today's daf is daf Tzadi Dalid. We have the end of this perek Shtei Midos, and then we get into the Lechem HaPanim, what they looked like. So let's start again with the Mishnah. We learned it at the end of our learning yesterday. Chomer b'smicha mibetnufa. There is a stringency to the law of leaning on a karban, which is more than the law of waving parts of a karban. And then ubetnufa, there's certain stringencies to waving more than leaning. She'echad meinif l'kol ha'chaverim. Okay, a leniency about waving is that if you have a group of partners in a karban, only one needs to do the waving, and his waving works for all. Whereas ve'enechad somich l'kol ha'chaverim, as we learn from the word karbano, his karban, each owner has to do leaning. If you have five owners of a karban, you can't have one leaning on behalf of all five. Each of them have to lean on it. On the other hand, chomer b'tnufa, there is a stringency to the waving more than the leaning. Sh'atnufa noheges b'karbanos hayachid. The waving applies even to an individual's karban. Uve karbanos hatzibur. And it also applies to communal karbanos. Whereas leaning does not apply to communal karbanos, except as we saw yesterday, for two communal karbanos, either Par Elam Davar Shel Tzibur and Seir Avodah Zarah, or Par Elam Davar Shel Tzibur and Seir HaMishtaleach. Another difference between waving and leaning, B'chaim uveshchutim. Waving applies to living creatures, let's say the Kivsei Atzeres, and to dead parts, Chaz of Ashok, the chest and the thigh. Whereas leaning, you never lean on something which is dead. When it comes to waving, it applies to things that have life in them, like Kivsei Atzeres. And sometimes you lean things that don't have, you wave things that don't have any life, like the mincha of the sota. When it comes to leaning, you never lean on something which doesn't have life.
Waving is like this waving?
No, waving is like the lulav. In, out, up, down. And we said, maybe also right, left.
Did you hold the lulav and do this? Or
the same way you shake the lulav, that's how you would do the waving. And we saw, remember, in the machlokas of the Rishonim, in the Masechet Sukkah, whether that is just out, in, up, down, or maybe also right, left, and out, in, up, down.
But empty hand, nothing in it.
Oh, holding the karban.
Oh, you mean, but how could you lift up a sheep like?
That's what you do. You took a sheep and a loaf on top of it and you lift it up.
Down. It's
a 1-year-old sheep. Okay, says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanu, look at our braisa.
Practice with your wife first.
Maybe your baby granddaughter.
Work it up. I'm going to.
What's the source that when you have partners in a karban, each need to do the leaning? Karbano. That's what we said before. Said it yesterday. It says karbano, his karban. It's written in regards to the shlamim. He will lean on his karban. His karban. The rabbis call bali karban l'smicha. That tells you that when you have multiple owners, all the owners of the karban have to be leaning on the karban. So one after the next. So yachav alo dinhu. Now you might have said a kal v'chomer. You might have said logic. Umat nufa shenis rabsa b'shchutin. Nismata b'chovrin. Here when it comes to waving. And waving is stronger than leaning. Because waving applies even to an animal slaughtered. And nevertheless, waving doesn't apply to a group. When you have a group, it's just each one, it's just one act of waving. You don't have everybody doing waving. So smicha, when it comes to leaning, shonis rabsa b'shlutim, which doesn't apply to that which is slaughtered. And it didn't smite b'chovrim, so certainly it shouldn't apply to a group that each person should do the leaning. Maybe one person does the leaning, like one person does the waving. Time alone, that's we needed a verse. The verse teaches us the word karbano. He is to lean on his karban. The rabbis call bali karban l'smicha, which teaches me that when we have multiple owners of a karban, each one has to lean on it. So the Gemara says, one second, once you have logic saying we should be comparing waving to leaning, v'tis rabbis nufa b'chover mikal v'chomer. So why don't we use logic to say And when you have five partners in an animal, each of them should be doing the waving. And say like this, Umas micha shlo nisrabsa b'shchute. Leaning doesn't apply to the animal when it's dead. And nevertheless, nisrabsa b'chovrin, nevertheless, when it comes to leaning, you can lean on all, when you have five partners in an animal, all of them lean, even though leaning is less strict than waving. Leaning applies to all of the five partners. So it's nufa. So when you talk about waving, which is stricter, shenisrabta b'shchutin, because it even applies to things that are already dead. Einodin shenisrabta b'chovrin, so certainly it should apply. So when you have a group of five partners, all of them should be doing the waving. Says the Gemara, no, you shouldn't allow efshir. You can't say when there are five partners, all of them wave. Because how would that happen? What are you proposing should happen? All five of them should hold it, and all five of them should wave it together while they're all holding it. That would be a barrier. You don't have directly two hands on the animal. So let's say one partner should wave it. Then he should put it down, and a second partner should wave it. Then the second partner should put it down, and the third partner should wave it. So you eventually have all five people waving it. Hashem said a waving. He didn't say wavings. So there's no right to do multiple wavings. Ask the Gemara. Is it true that there's no leaning on dead pieces of a korban? What about a Mishnah? What time is it a Mishnah? There's much a Kohen Gadol wrote to Lahakdir. If the Kohen Gadol wants to offer parts of the korban, he would go up the ramp and Vaskan Biamino, and the assistant, his assistant to the Kohen Gadol would be at his right. When you would get to half of the ramp, Achaskan Biamino, the assistant would hold his hand, the Heleu, and he would lift him up. He would help him go up. And the first Kohen who's carrying parts of the Karban Tamid would hand to him the head and the foot. So mechalein, he would lean on them, and then vizorkan, then he would throw them into the fire. Hoshet Hasheni LaRishon Shtei Yadayim, the second Kohen carrying pieces of the Karban Tamid would hand the two arms over. Nosan LaKohen would be given to the Kohen Gadol. So mechalein, the Kohen Gadol would lean on them. Vizorkan, and then he would throw them into the fire. Nishben Hasheni V'alachlo, then the second Kohen would step away and leave. And that's how they would lean and pass over to him all the limbs of the Karban Tamid. So Mechaleini would lean on them, Vizorkan, and throw them into the fire. It was Manchu Rotsin. If he wants, Usomech, the Kohen Gadol can lean on them, Vacherim Zorkin, and the others can throw it. So you see, it's dead. It's pieces of a Karban Tamid, and the Kohen Gadol is leaning on it. So how could you say in the Mishnah that leaning doesn't apply to that which is dead? Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, Hasam Yishum Kvodo de Kohen Gadol. That is just because it's the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol's doing the service. It should be more honorable. What makes it more honorable is that he did leaning on the dead pieces. Okay, but generally, there's no leaning on dead pieces, and there's no obligation of leaning. This was just to create honor. It really wasn't for the mitzvah of smicha. The mitzvah of smicha only applies to a living animal, unlike the mitzvah of tznufa, which midoraisa, on the basic concept, applies both to living animals, like Yivsiat Zeres, and to dead pieces, Chaz of Ashok.
When you say dead, you mean already, you know,
Shech.
Dead.
Yeah. Shech,
that's
Shech
what you
Shech
mean by dead.
Dead. Oh, dead. Yeah. All right. Hadron Allah, Vezus Hashem Yizbarach, Shtei Midos, Vahadra, Halan. All right, may we merit to come back to this chapter, and may we merit that this chapter should be coming back to us. Coming back to us. Amen. Bezus Hashem. Guys, it's only 437 days to go. To the Siyam Hashas. 13th Siyam Hashas. In history. 418 days to go. All right, even less. Wow. So January 1st, 2020. That's the Siyam Hashas. Big day coming. All right, the Mishnah. Talking about the loaves. There were two loaves brought from the new wheat on Shavuos that would be accompanied, as we've learned earlier in this Masechta many times, by two sheep. by the Kivsei Atzeres. These are the Shalmei Tzibur. This is the communal Karban Shlamim. And the bringing of these two loaves permits usage of chadash, of new grain, in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach as Menachos. And the two loaves, uniquely, do not end up in the fire. They just get eaten by all the Kohanim that are there. And what's matir them is the Kivsei Atzeres. What permits them is the two sheep. And now we're going to talk about the Lechem HaPanim, the 12 loaves of bread that were on the Shulchan constantly. They would be put on Shabbos, replaced by another set of 12 loaves next Shabbos. There were always 12 loaves of bread on the Shulchan. And we're going to merit today to learn about the shape of these 12 loaves. They were either in the shape of a skipper boat, or they were in the shape of half a box. We're going to see soon what the shape was. Okay.
For Shavuot, they were only two loaves.
The carbon of Shavuot was two loaves. Two loaves. And they looked differently. They looked, they were flat, and they had corners, like the top of a mizbeach. All right, Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of Shavuot, the two Shtei Alechem. Niloshos achas achas. When they get prepared, they have to be kneaded. The flour is mixed with water and kneaded into a dough, and then, you know, made into a loaf. They are kneaded one by one, each isaron by itself. However, at first, when it comes to baking them, also achas achas, they're baked one by one. Lechem apanim, the loaves of the showbread, niloshos achas achas, they are kneaded one by one. But benefos shtayim shtayim, they're kneaded two at a, they're baked two at a time. Now, when it comes to the Lechem HaPanim movement, Fusaya Osa Osan, he used to make them in molds. They had special baking pans for the Lechem HaPanim to get to this unique shape. Kishu Rodan. Now, remember, their baking used to be like the way our holy brethren, the Sfardim, make pitot. They would take the dough and slap it against the very hot metal surface or an earthenware surface, and then on the tanur, and then they would use a spatula, the diatapas, to get the dough off. So kishu rodan.
It's delicious bread.
It's the best. Yeah. It's the bread of Beit HaMikdash. Kishu rodan. And when he takes the bread off, nos non latfus, he puts it back into another mold, kidei shelo yiskalkalu, so that they maintain this shape and they don't break. All right, says the Gemara now, the sources for these laws. Mina. Hani Mili, from where do we know these laws? What is the source that the Shtei Alechem are kneaded loaf by loaf? To turn around a little bit, so there's a pasuk in regards to the Lechem HaPanim. Shnei Esronim Yiyeh HaChala HaEchas. Two Esronim should be the single loaf. Malami, that teaches you, Sheni Loshos Achas Achas, that they get kneaded one by one. Minayin Shav Shtei Alechem Kein. How do we know that the two loaves are this way also, that they also are kneaded one by one? Tamom, there's this extra word, Yihiyeh. So the extra word is to apply also to Shtei Alechem. Uminayin Shav Yosn Shtayim Shtayim. How do we know that when it comes to the baking of the chalos of the Lechem HaPanim, they are baked two at a time? Tamom, that's what the verse says, V'samto Sam, and you shall place them. When you do the placing, namely putting it into the oven, it should be them, it shouldn't be him, it should be them, it should be two. Well, since we're learning from the word Yihyeh in this pasuk to Shtei Alechem, maybe the Shtei Alechem also should be baked two at a time. That's what it says. Oh, some, them should be placed. Them, but not Shtei Alechem. Ask him one second. Hi, Osam, Afikta. You already used this word, Osam, them, to say that when baking, you bake two at a time. That the placing is of them and not of one. Look at my answers. It's true. Imkain, if so, that it was just to teach me that you bake the Lechem HaPanim as twos. This samtam, it could have said, the verse could have said, and you shall place them. My this samta osam, why did it break it into two words? And you shall place them. That's to tell you, shaminatati, to tell you two loaves. Number one, that when it comes to Lechem HaPanim, you bake two loaves at a time. And number two, it's telling you that it's Lechem HaPanim that gets baked two loaves at a time. But Shtei Alechem does not get baked two loaves at a time. Them get baked two loaves at a time. But Shtei Alechem get baked one loaf at a time. Now we get to the main part of today's daf. The Lechem HaPanim. Tana Rabbanim Lidin Abraisa. How would they make the Lechem HaPanim? The verse says, V'samta osam, and you shall place them. What are you placing them in? The tfus, you're putting it into a mold. Shlosh tfusim heim. There were three molds. Nosul tfus. There's one mold for when it was dough. You would put it into a mold to create the dough, to shape the dough. Then it was another mold in the oven that it was then put into that mold to bake in that mold. When you remove the baked bread from that mold, you then put it into a third mold, so that the bread shape not get ruined. Once you put it back to the first mold, why do you need to have three molds? No, because once you bake it, it does inflate a bit. So once it inflates, it won't fit into the first mold. That's you need to have a third mold for when it comes out of the oven and it can hold it. What's that?
The bread is already baked. What do you need another mold for?
We're going to see. Based on its shape, it's not such a sturdy shape.
I mean, you take it off, halfway cooked, baked.
No, it's baked.
And you put them in another mold, and then you move them again and put them in another mold?
No. You take it out fully baked. You put it in a mold because you're going to stack them one on top of the other. You don't want them to break. You don't want them to collapse each other.
This is like a protection mold,
Yeah.
Okay.
Itmar, we learned. Oh, guys, give all the pictures. Lechem apanim, ketzad osin osa. What would they make the lechem apanim? How would they make it? Okay. Lots and lots of pictures. Rabbi Chanina Omer, kimin teva. Rabbi Chanina says, like a box. So imagine if you have a box like this, and you were to cut off the top and cut off the two sides here. You just have the bottom and the two sides along the side. So that's like a box. So lechem apanim, as I have in this gemara, this is the picture, kimin teva, like a box.
I have it here too.
Very nice. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, though, Kimin Sfina Rokedes, like a boat that's very fast, like a swift boat. So a swift boat has a very sharp bottom, and then it goes like this. So,
inside of a swamp.
Avocado. You have to pit.
So this is there are all sorts of different versions of what this might look like, but this is the version that we have in our Rashi, like a V. It was sharp on the sides, went up like this, and then on the bottom was like a little boat that would skip over all the waves. And now the Gemara discusses problems with each point of view. Let's remember the Shulchan was a table. And on the table, there were two stacks of bread, six loaves on this side and six loaves on that side. And this is the shulchan. Now, between the loaves, there were 14 kanim, 14 pipes on each stack. And then there were the two smuchos, the two sort of panels. Like a panel like this and a panel like this to hold up each of the stacks. You had, three reeds on each level, till the top level only had two leaves. You can see the picture of what the shulchan looked like. So now we're going to have to ask questions. Does this make sense with these different shapes? Again, we have an argument here. Rabbi Chanina says that the shape is flat on the bottom and then two sides. Rabbi Yochanan says that the shape is a V. The shape is a swift boat. So does that work with all the other things that we know about the Shulchan? Okay. So again, how did the breads look like? We'll start again at the top line of Tzadi Dalam and Beis. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kamin Teva Prutza. Rabbi Chanina said like a broken box. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kamin Sfina Rokedes, like a very fast boat. I understand if you're going to say it's like a cut box. Now I understand. We're going to see that there's an argument where the spoonfuls of Lavona were. One opinion is that the spoonfuls of Lavona were on the table itself. The other opinion is that they were on the very top of the stack in the top loaf. So if there are box, the loaves, okay, there's room there to put two spoons. However, Elamad Amar Kvinsvina Roketes, but if you're going to say that they're V's, and they have a narrow edge on the bottom, so Hei Chaviyasu Bazichin, so where are you going to put spoons in it? It's an etzba, it's just a finger on that very bottom. There's not room there for a spoon or for chometz. So the Gemara answers, Makom Avid Luhu, according to this opinion, within the wall of this V-shaped loaf, they would have a little indentation for the spoon of Lavona to be placed. All right, next question. Bishop Laman Dharma Kvinteva Prutza, I understand according to the opinion who says it was like a box that was cut. So it's flat on the bottom and it has two sides. I don't have a Yasvi Kanim. Now I understand what the little pipes are doing. There are 14 pipes in each stack, three on each level and then two on the very top level. So you have pipes on top of these walls, and on top of the pipe you have a something leaning, right? Something is being supported. You have a flat bottom. It can be on pipes. You can have three pipes. My fingers are these pipes, and it could lean on it. But if what you have is a little, a little etzba down here, and it's going like a V, what's it going to do on the pipes? It's going to fall right through. It's going to break. So what are you doing there? So Bishop Laman Dharma Kvinteva Prutza, I understand according to the opinion it's like a cut box, Hanadaviasvi Kanim. Now I understand why you have pipes. You have pipes on top of the boxes and boxes leaning on the pipes. El Laman Dharma, according to the opinion, Kvinsvina Rokedis, you have a V-shaped swift boat type loaf, Kanim Heichi Havuyasvi. Where are these reeds resting on? Hence the Gemara, more Shavad Luhu. They would make in the swift boat indentations in order to enable the pipes to be there. All right, Bishop Laman Dharma Kvinteva Prutza. I understand according to the opinion it was like a cut box. Hainu desamchu lai snifin. Now I understand why you had boards on the side to support it. And I understand how they were able to support it because they were all straight. But if you're going to say it's like a swift boat, how are the supports on the side holding it up? Answer the Gemara, at the very edge of this V-shaped loaf, they would, when making these supports, they would make it a little circular on the bottom. And that circular thing would support the bread. Did it not break?
Amazing. So each loaf had indemnization for a spoon of lavana in there?
Only the top loaf.
Just the space?
Yeah.
That each one didn't carry it?
No. Right, only the top one had. Right. And then they had, if they were V-shaped, they had indentations for the... for the sticks to go on top of them, and they had something grounded in order to support it from falling down.
Is that what you're saying? That's how the bottom was? Is that how they...
Yes. Well, that's the V-shaped.
To hold the V-shaped.
That's the V-shaped.
So it doesn't break, right? Is that how it is?
Yeah, that's the V-shaped, and that's the box-shaped.
Uh-huh.
Now, Bishop Labad Amar Kvinsvina Rokedes, it would work better according to the opinion that it was like a V-shaped. Hainu Dibidon Snifin. Now I understand why you need to have supports on the side so that these loaves don't break. Elamad Amar Kvinteva Prutza, but if you're going to say that it's a box, Snifin Lamali, why do we even have these boards on the side to hold it up? The answer is Agav Yukrav Zulechem Talach, because all the bread is so heavy. You didn't have the supports, they would just crush each other. So you need to have the supports on the side to hold them up. Bishop Laman Dharma Kvinsvina Rokedes, I understand according to the opinion there was like a V-shaped snif in al-gabi shulchan munachin. So then these supports could be on the table itself. As Rashi says, if it's V-shaped, you have space on the table for the supports. Elamad Dharma Kvinteva Prutza, but if they're like boxes, then snif in echa manichlu, where are you going to put these supports? So, are you going to put them on the ground? So, yeah, that's exactly where they go. In. That's right. Amar Rabba Bar Mamal. Rabba Bar Mamal said, the Dibriya Omer Kvinsvita Rokedes, according to the opinion that they were like a V-shaped, Snifin al gabi shulchan munachim. The boards were on the table itself. With the very omer, according to the opinion, kibin teva fruit, so they were like a V-shaped. Snifin al gabi karka munachim. According to the opinion, they were like a box. Then they were on the floor. And according to the opinion, they were like a V-shaped. The boards were on the table. Kaman azlahada amar Rav Yehuda. Like, who is this opinion that of what Rav Yehuda says? Rav Yehuda says, Alechem mamidis asnifin. The bread is holding up the boards on the side. Plus, hasnifin mamidis alechem, and the boards on the side are holding up the breads. So I said, that's the opinion. Kaman damar svina rokedes. That's according to the opinion that it is like a V-shape. So both the sides are holding up the V-shaped, and the V-shaped is holding up the breads. Okay, that's the end of today's daf. I saw yesterday on the internet a nice quote from Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch asked, why are the lechem apanim made in this shape? Baruch said, why aren't they made like chalos? You know, it's a very strange shape, either like a cut box or like a V-shaped. So Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch said something very nice. He said that the lechem apanim represents livelihood, parnasa, wealth. Gemara says, Harotza last year, if you want to become wealthy, go to the north. The way to remember that is that the Shulchan was in the north. If you want to become wise, go to the south. The way to remember that is that the menorah is in the south. We learned to Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra. The reason why people have a custom, right? We stand towards the Mizrah and we sway side by side, this to the north, like this to the left. So the swaying side by side to the north is to the right and to the left is to the left. Depends what we're davening for. If we're davening for wealth, we sway to the north, because the Shulchan was in the north. We're davening for wisdom, we sway to the left, because the menorah was in the south. That's what we learned back in the Masechet Baba Basra. So again, the Shulchan is a symbol of wealth.
So the east is here, then the north is here.
Okay, then that would be for wealth. So the left would be for north, left is north, and then to the right would be wisdom. So the table and the breads on the table are a symbol of wealth. So if you say that the breads have a flat bottom and then they go up, basically it comes out that 50% of the bread is going up and only 50% is on the bottom. That means it's a message. When Hashem gives you money, half of your money should be to support the person on top of you.
Ooh.
Half should go for tzedakah and for yeshivos, for the community.
The
Shulchan is more. It's 50%. An opinion that says that it's a V-shaped, so Rabbi Hirsch does a whole calculation that means that the very bottom is only 1/40. And 40 times more is the sides. So the walls are holding up the thing on top. That's that you take for yourself only 1/40. And 40 times more, you give to help everybody else. That's what gives you wealth. You want to know what will give you wealth?
Yeah.
Make Hashem either a 50% partner or a 3,900% partner. If you're wealthy, you can give more than 20%. 20% is for the poor people.